And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Steph Barnett.
And I'm Andy Shilton. Today on the show, Just Like Us,
volunteers from this youth LGBT plus charity will be live in the studio.
And Perpetual Indulgence.
The sisters are here.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. I'll do it this week because Lara's not here.
You miss her.
Do you know, one week you'll not do that. Yeah. And that'll be the week you're not here.
No, that is true. I'll have to change the jingle. In fact, I'll do that next time I'm co-presenting with Lara. And we'll see what happens.
Just throw everyone.
Oh, you're so cruel. So
I think we actually have had that backing jingle for about 5 years or so. So we used to have the Queer as Folk theme tune.
Of course,
if you remember
that. Didn't we? Yes. Yeah. That's going back a bit.
Good evening, Terry, Tara.
Hello.
Good evening. Are we okay?
Yeah, a bit hectic out there tonight.
It is hectic.
We got in.
Accident on the M4 was causing havoc in the North Bristol burbs earlier. As is its wont.
That's all right.
It's the winter time.
It's all right. It's absolutely fine. We're getting a metro bus.
In April.
Oh, right. Is that what it is?
It's which April? Year?
Yeah. Sorry. 2019. I am all for, like, you know, public transport and
I thought
and
we'd
making
get the tube
less,
for a while.
Less. I think we will get a tube.
Can I just ask, Andy, what the tenuous link is between a metro bus and the LGBTQ community?
Well, no, you were going on about traffic on the just motorway.
Saying.
What's the traffic on the motorway?
Everyone
got to do with
because
the
there's bound to be somebody who's gay. Stuck in the traffic.
There's bound to be someone lesbian or bi or trans.
Works on the buses.
Likes buses.
And works on the bus service. Come on, we're everywhere. We're not excluded.
We had a lot of people writing in last week about Andy's making of 3D pornography. There was a lot of interested parties.
Excuse me, that was you, not me.
No, I just mentioned it, but I can't help it. Do you make a living from it? Is it your hobby?
It's obviously stuck in somebody else's mind as well. We can't forget about it.
It was the amount of letters we had.
No, if there's someone new listening, this is going to sound really awful, isn't it?
Can I just ask, if everyone on the bus is straight, does that make it a hetero bus?
Oh, nice, Terry. Boom, boom.
This is where I need a sound effect jingle.
Sharp. That's why you're sat in.
That's what they don't pay me for.
Well, does that mean if it's nothing but gay people,
it's a homo bus? Absolutely.
There you go. Hashtag homo bus. You heard it here on Shout Out First.
We'll write to Marvin Rees and ask him to institute one
immediately. Maybe got an extra 2 minutes.
If it's
minutes
for the trans
chat.
People, does it make it transport?
Yes, right.
That's the only one I can think of.
Very clever. Very, very droll.
Nonsense.
Oh dear, I don't know.
We'll cut that bit out later.
Yeah, we will. Anyway, it's alright, we're going to move on very quickly. Tara, I'm really sorry, you weren't due to do events tonight, were you?
I wasn't due to, yeah.
But thank you very much.
I think we're alright, because it was something I read about,
cool.
So it's alright.
So shall we?
Yes, please.
So, out shout this week with the lovely Tara. So, what we got?
Well, we're going to go straight to the watershed for Saturday. So, we've got the preview of A Fantastic Woman. So, it's about Chilean director Sebastian Leo follows his 2013 hit about Gloria. And it's about a trans person and their experience in life. And their partner's died. And it's about following them through what's going on for them, about the sexual identity. And how it's seen.
It's not one of the Queer Vision films. Is it Queer Vision running?
Oh,
it is.
I think it is. Yeah, it's bound to be this time of year, isn't it? So, and it's so it's on Saturday at 6:10 in the evening, and accessibility is what's shared. You can go and book online. Yeah, and there's concessions available as well. Yeah, and it's I think it's subtext. Subtitles.
Subtext.
Subtext. There's subtext to it, but I think it's subtitles to it, yeah. And it looks really interesting. I might even go myself on that one, actually.
I like the Watershed. It's lovely cinemas they got there, isn't it? They're kind of like nice and small and cozy.
Yeah, the only thing they're missing are the people that stand in the corner with the little tray selling the Kia Ora and the tubs of
the cafe
vanilla.
Is fantastic.
Are you volunteering?
To stand in a corner with a little torch?
With a little popsicle.
Selling Kia Ora. And vanilla tubs with wooden spoons.
They've got the most fantastic cafe. Yeah. You've got food and drink, and it's really amazing. I mean, you go there any time of the day, actually. It's one of my nice spots.
It's very nice. It's lovely in the summer with a little balcony that you can sit on as well.
And they do private functions and all sorts of things. It's just an amazing venue, to be honest. Yeah.
So, any others?
Yes, we've then got Indigo. They've got let me get the date. 15th of February, so Thursday the 15th, so that's next week. Yeah, so we have to do it this week, haven't we? And that's at the Square Club. Indigo's Chloe Petz. It's about laughter. It's a funny woman. Continues February with the rising talents of Chloe Petz. Special drinks and a post-Valentine's special show follows the performance. Of course it is after Valentine's. I forget about Valentine's. It's terrible, isn't it? Yeah. A London-based founder of New Comedy Nights, The Low Word, the young stand-up is starting to gather national attention and club awards. She was regional finalist in the 2018 Funny Women's Award, so it's well worth a go, I suspect.
Oh. You'll remember Valentine's Day.
Will I?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody buys you a bunch of flowers.
Yeah. And the other thing was The Move. So LGBT Bristol apparently are on the move. So
lack of funding. Again, how many times do we hear that?
Another one.
To be fair, it's hitting everyone at the moment. It's not just LGBT. I mean, I've got, you know, it's everyone across the board, any minority, anything, you know, drink, drugs, alcoholism, homelessness, everyone's been hit by this.
Councils.
Yeah.
With council tax going up.
Yeah, well,
yes, I heard that on the wireless today.
£40.
Yeah.
Roughly the estimate.
On the wireless.
On the wireless. So they're moving, I believe they're moving to Knoll.
They are moving to Knoll.
Gosh, that's an interesting place to.
It is well
to move because they've been in St Paul's for so long.
Mind
they?
You, Knoll's supposed to be the next area that's supposed to be up and coming. They're trying to up and coming.
Moving up from Totterdam. Yes, gentrification.
Yeah, gentrification's hitting Knoll.
Really?
Yeah. You know the team that have been sort of trying to get Old Market up and coming.
Yeah.
Some of them are moving up there to try and do the same thing there.
Right. I used to live in Knoll. It is a really nice district, actually. Yeah.
The houses are well proportioned as well. You know,
really nice big gardens.
Yeah.
Well, that's you think of the old council houses. Used to live in a council house in Sharehampton, and the house was huge. The gardens
absolutely
were always
stuff
big.
Built between the wars. Absolutely phenomenal size gardens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely houses.
Cool.
So, that's it.
Marvellous. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tara.
No, thank you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's groovy. That's Lynn Fidmont and her Groovy People. I played that one before. I like that song. It's really nice. You like that one? Do you remember we played that Say Goodbye to Ella when she left us? She's a groovy person.
Oh, Ella. Yes.
So.
Well, she's listening. Hello, Ella.
Hello, Ella.
And she'll be back in the summer.
Yeah.
Behind the microphone again.
Yes.
With an excellent history slot.
Oh, gosh,
mythology.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Brilliant. Well, we got one coming up, actually. I think it's
what,
next
from Ella?
Next week. Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, we've got a history slot.
I haven't had my brain fried in a long time.
I've been nagging her to death to get it done. So if you're listening, Ella, I hope it's done because it's on next week.
No pressure whatsoever. So, now, anyway, bringing things back to this evening, we are joined by Matthew and Clodagh from Just Like Us. Welcome, shout out, guys.
Hi.
Now, give me an idea. Just Like Us. I have no idea what it is, if I'm honest. Give us some background. What is it? How did it come about?
So, we're a national LGBT+ charity. We work with young people in schools and colleges.
Right.
But me and Matthew are both from the Bristol Hub.
Oh, so is this a national thing, is it?
A national thing. We've got 5 hubs across the UK.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Cool. So what's the core aim of Just Like Us, then?
So the core aim of Just Like Us is to tackle homophobic bullying in school environments, specifically secondary schools. So we go in and we do talks and workshops to really just motivate young LGBT people to achieve their best, and also to encourage LGBT allies to form amongst their straight peers as well.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing.
So you involve the colleges that you go to, the schools, you actually involve the pupils and get them involved as well. So it ripples out, I guess, like throwing a stone in a pond. Is that what you're aiming at, that sort of thing?
That is the hope, yeah. So when we do our talks, we talk in assemblies and we talk across all the year groups from 7 to 13, so all the secondary years. We do workshops so they're more interactive and they can learn more about what it's like to be a young LGBT person, just how to act around them, how to be their allies. We do stuff, you know, to hopefully normalise it. And then there's been school diversity weeks, which have also happened, I think, across primary and secondary schools.
I think I mentioned it to you off air. I think it's absolutely brilliant this kind of stuff's happening. One of my biggest bugbears was the lack of teaching of anything during education when I was at school. I mean, Section 28 was well and truly enforced, were brought in by Margaret Thatcher and the like, and basically banned talking about anything to do with it. You know, how long has Just Like Us been going into schools?
So we started operating in early 2016.
Right.
So I think
that's fairly new.
Fairly new. In those past year and a half or whatever it's been, I think we've reached 17,000 kids.
Wow.
And indirectly, via School Diversity Week, reached 250,000 kids. So. Gosh. We're doing quite well.
What's kind of like been, you know, I mean, do the kids initially kind of have a laugh and a joke about it, or are they take it quite seriously, or?
I think it's very much an age thing. So the younger years, year 7 and 8, you'll get some giggling at any mention of LGBT plus things.
Really?
Oh my God, she said gay. Wow, hilarious.
But if they're old enough to joke about it, they're old enough to be educated about why not to joke about it and why that might be harmful for their peers. But that you get such a wide variety of responses, and it depends which school you go into as well. But largely, the kids have been really mature and really accepting and really open to be educated about these issues that they just may not have been aware of before. So it's really important.
Do you get kickback from the parents at all? Obviously, the majority are okay, but there must be a minority of parents, especially maybe for religious reasons, that kickback?
For this reason, Just Like Us is an anti-bullying charity. We come at the LGBT situation from anti-bullying, so that no parent has the right to remove their child from our assemblies, because we're not promoting anything. What we're saying is that every single child deserves to be happy and safe in their school environment, and actually that is the responsibility of their straight friends and allies as much as it is their own LGBT community. So that's why we're specifically about anti-bullying, for that reason.
Right, yeah, that's a good tactic. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So what kind of things do you talk to the kids about then? I mean, if you go a bit more in detail, what kind of things are they not aware of at those ages that can cause the issues that you go in to talk about?
I think quite often it's not that they mean anything maliciously, but it's just ignorance about exactly what isn't the right thing to say. Some kids won't understand why saying, oh, that's so gay, is an issue, and it's in explaining, actually, that's really harmful because it's perpetuating this idea that being gay is bad.
But I don't know why they call it sick as well. It's just, that's so sick. That one went over my head a bit too. So, is it a youth thing though? They just kind of find a phrase and this one happens to be, that's well gay.
I think in that particular instance, there was a Katy Perry song called You're So Gay, I think, which came out when I was in lower secondary school years. And so I think it's just pop culture latches onto certain phrases, even if they're not intended to be derogatory. So we just make it clear the things that students should and shouldn't be saying around LGBT people, which is so important because we know from the stats that we have that young LGBT people in schools still have a really tough time. Like, for example, 9 in 10 hear those homophobic remarks, 6 in 10 experience homophobic bullying, and 7 in 10 say homophobia affects their schoolwork. So it's so important that we just address
these
issues.
That's high figures, isn't it?
Mm.
That is high. Using that term gay as kids do, my grandson... was using it. Oh, that's so gay.
Yeah.
So we just sat him down and had a chat. He had no clue. Exactly. So you're right, it's ignorance. And then once you tell them the reason, and it could hurt somebody, especially maybe one of their friends, because you don't know. Mm-hmm. So he's not done it since.
Yeah, that's amazing. And also I've had such a positive response from kids coming up to me, and I know our other ambassadors have, LGBT kids saying it's amazing, and thank you for being a role model in our schools. Because when I certainly was in school, I never had any LGBT role models in my school environment.
So have you been in a situation where you've gone back to a school you've been to previously to see the effect of the work you've done?
Well, I went back to my school I went to from age 11 to 18.
Right.
And so that was weird. That was an odd experience, like seeing how it's changed over the past 3-4 years. We've got a really good relationship with this one school in Cotton that we've gone back to a few times with different year groups to do different workshops. And it's been interesting seeing how like different age groups within the same school respond to the same material.
Right, but I mean, do you get a chance to go and do like presentations with the guys and girls in the school, and then, you know, 6 months or a year later go back and catch up with them to see the effect that it's had?
I mean, that is the aim in the end, isn't it, really? I don't think we've actually had that with any particular year groups yet, but that would be amazing if we could, wouldn't it?
I think as the charity goes on as well, because obviously it's very new, I think that data will then begin to come in, and hopefully we'll see really positive changes as a result of that.
So. Okay, so do you get feedback from some of the kids who are, like, homosexual or identify as LGBT+? What's their feedback about it? Because I'm assuming from their point of view, it's really nice having someone come in and say, you know, no, look, guys, you can't say this, and, you know, this is how it is, etc.
Yeah, I went into a school on Monday actually, and as a result of the talk, and I was chatting to 4 kids who identified as LGBT, and now they're setting up an LGBT society within their secondary school with the support of their deputy head. So that's a really exciting thing. So there are like very tangible changes that we see when they come up to us, and sometimes they just want to say thank you.
That must be so nice, though.
It's very rewarding. It really is.
Yeah, and for them to actually be empowered by yourselves to actually start organisations up. Regards to that, you mentioned the teachers and that. How do they accept what you're doing? Are they usually okay and want to be involved?
Or do they take it further? Do they actually actively get involved and support?
By and large, I think my experience is the teachers have been really amazing, really supportive. And again, just the teachers also considering how they might change their own, you know, how the way they talk about LGBT issues. And rather than saying, oh, one day when you grow up and you have a wife or you have a husband to a boy or a girl, you know, just saying, oh, one day when you grow up and you have a partner, you know, just changing slight subtle changes of vocabulary to be more inclusive.
Yeah, I think my highlight was over summer I did a talk in this school in near London, and there was an LGBT+ teacher who was married to another woman, and she said that actually she was going to be more open about that in school, which I thought was amazing. Just from this 20-minute talk, she's deciding to actually be open about her identity to the kids.
Do you cover the T at all, and specifically the trans community?
We do, yeah. We do a whole segment on gender and like gender identity, and we've got a bunch of trans ambassadors at Bristol.
Okay, so you do go through the non-binary and gender fluid thing.
We make it really clear at the beginning of the talk that both gender and sexuality belongs on a spectrum, and that you might place yourself anywhere across that spectrum. And then we say that it doesn't matter how you identify now, it might evolve over time as a young person. So we make that whole kind of concept very clear early on for both LGBT people who might, you know, be struggling with their identity and also their straight peers. So, you know, we do cover that. We cover all of the letters as inclusive as we possibly can within the 20 minutes that we've got to just hit them with the information.
You've just got 20 minutes.
It varies. So we do 20-minute assemblies, which is that's the time frame. It is, you know. So average is 5 minutes a letter if we were doing it like that. And so you've got 20 minutes. That's a rough school assembly time, sometimes half an hour, which is a luxury. And then we do an hour-long workshop version, which is designed to usually substitute PSHE lessons and things like that.
Is there a large team of you?
In the Bristol Hub, I think we have about 15 to 20 ambassadors. And then nationwide, there's 100 trained ambassadors.
Wow.
So, quite big.
Yeah.
So you need to get bigger, I guess, because there's an awful lot of schools and colleges out there.
So we need to train and recruit more ambassadors as we go on. And we do have a core team of staff who are absolutely amazing. There are 4 of them, and they, you know, work their socks off to support all of the students that they train, and then the students that we in turn go and talk to.
Do you have a national headquarters as well as the local ones, or do you tend to be split? it, as in just remain local?
Yeah, we've got a big hub in London, which is where all our sort of core staff work. Okay. We've got an office there, and that's where, like, the central organisation.
Okay,
happens.
So they coordinate. To me, I was just thinking that you all work off the same hymn sheet, inverted commas.
We do. A template. Yeah. But then we personalise that. So every time we go into a talk, I share my own story of what it was like growing up as a gay man. And then every ambassador's presentation is quite unique, and you're encouraged to tailor that, you know, so it becomes a very personal experience sharing.
I guess you must get a lot more empathy doing that, making it a personal thing rather than just a story.
Yeah, that's definitely the hope, to just connect. I think they definitely can just see you and understand that the person in front of them actually went through a very difficult thing, and it makes it more than just statistics.
Do you have a low limit age group?
I think at the moment we're only working with secondary schools, so nothing below age 11.
Right, okay. Is there plans to go lower?
I think there are plans to expand into primary schools, but at the moment we're just focusing on OGs, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There has been the Diversity Week, though, which did include primary schools as well, but we don't currently talk explicitly about LGBT issues to primary schools on a regular basis.
Right. Cool. I mean, that was going to be one of my questions, because obviously, I mean, it's fantastic what you're doing in schools and the like, but there's loads of other groups out there, youth groups and societies and clubs, etc. Is the longer-term plan that you may even, you know, I'm asking because I can envisage there being people listening saying, oh, they haven't done that in my school, but I know that I organised this club, blah, blah, blah. I wonder if they come along and talk
about that. Yeah, absolutely. And I would encourage anyone to contact Just Like Us. The website's justlikeus.org. I actually have done a lot of stuff for Into University, which is an educational charity. So I combined my two charity like passion things, and I went into Into University centres in Bristol to do Just Like Us talks, and those were really good. Definitely. I think there's scope for expanding. And I think I would encourage any organisation that wants Just Like Us to come and talk to their students and pupils to just get in touch and see what we can do for them.
Cool.
Excellent. It's a fantastic idea, isn't it?
It's such a change from the days when I was at school.
Yeah,
that's
me too.
So great.
1958, I got slung out of the Wendy house because obviously I wanted to play dress up and be mummy, but then I got bullied by the kids. The teacher grabbed me by my ear. I can remember it, and I was only five. But in the late 50s, then it was quite harsh. So you learn to hide quite quickly. So it's so nice to see how things have progressed.
Yeah. Well, was 90s in secondary school, but it wasn't, ironically, it wasn't much different.
They only
had to suspect you when you got bullied.
And
I know, I do remember quite clearly at school there were guys in my, I went to an all boys school, there were guys in my year who most definitely weren't gay, but someone thought something because they saw something that may be slightly effeminate or something like that, and the bullying would start and go on for months, you know. And the schools couldn't do anything because they weren't allowed to acknowledge it. So.
Yeah, I think it's so amazing that when we were at school, me and Matthew, in year three, we couldn't legally do this talk. Just Like Us couldn't legally have happened when I was in year three.
Really?
Which I think is ridiculous because Section 28 was still around.
Wow.
Yes.
It's
astonishing. And we have come so far in so many different ways, but young LGBT people are still suffering, you know, as with the stats I said earlier. And, you know, half of young LGBT people in school will self-harm at some point, you know, so this is still a really important issue that we need to keep pressing forward on, because we haven't made as much progress as we would all like to have done. So it's so important that Just Like Us exists.
Cool. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming and talking to us. It's great to also be able to put the word out and let people know that you guys are around in the light. And I would assume if any school is listening that isn't in touch with you, the best thing they can do is give you guys a shout and perhaps talk about you coming along. Before we go, give it out once more. Your web address is...
justlikeus.org.
Cool. And I presume if people want to get in touch, they can just do it all through there.
Yeah, it's a contact form. We've got social media. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck with it. We must catch up with you again when you've been going a couple of years, see how it's going, and you can tell us how the kids are changing.
Yeah, please do.
Definitely, please, yeah.
Anyway, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Not such a well-known one, that one. But it's Adele, though.
Really?
Yeah, and Water Under the Bridge.
Very distinctive dulcet tones.
Dulcet tones. You've got a lovely voice, isn't
it? That's what I just said.
I thought dulcet meant kind of like, you know,
dulcet tones. Dulcet means sweet.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. Sweet.
What am I thinking of then?
He's too young, Terry. He can't remember the terminology.
No. No, I'm not. So the husband's more like that. He's like really good. He comes out with words. I'm like, what else does that mean? He just like, but then he reads a lot. So I think if you're into literature, you pick up a lot more words, don't you?
Yeah. Does he appear in your movies that you make?
I don't know.
Just wondering. Right. I think the news is coming up now.
I think it's time to change the subject. That's what I think.
Well, it's given me visions of Steph in 3D. I mean, that's just... Anyway, enough of that.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday the 8th of February. It was in 2014 that Conchita Wurst became the first drag artiste to win the Eurovision Song Contest with a spectacular and riveting performance of a tune which had the emotion and gravity of a major movie score. Conservative states like Russia were apoplectic with rage, but the liberal West and North of Europe took Conchita to their hearts. Now BBC Radio 2 reports that she is to make a major appearance in the UK on the 25th of February. She will be backed by the BBC Symphony Orchestra and will perform standards from rock, pop and the musicals. If you're interested in seeing her, then visit the BBC Radio 2 website. The latest conspiracy theory about homosexuality has revealed the evil woman behind it all, yes? Religious fundamentalists in Senegal have identified the singer Rihanna as the centre of the homosexual menace. The popular singer is due to visit the West African country to promote the education of women and girls. However, a group of some 50 extreme religious groups say that her visit is a front for promoting, horror of horrors, tolerance and equality. The anti-gay groups also attack Rihanna as being a Freemason. It's common for extremists to attack this group as well as gay people. An essay in the February edition of the venerable gay magazine Gay Times urges gay and bisexual men to embrace their siblings in the transgender movement. The essay revisits the founding documents of the Gay Liberation Front in London, the radical 1970s grouping which was influenced by the hippie counterculture, by Maoism, utopian communism and anarchism. It points out that the GLF argued that real liberation for women and homosexuals would only come when the binary system of gender was disestablished, and the essay concludes that trans liberation can help achieve that. The gay male press has, as a rule, generally been more accepting of trans people than either the feminist or the broader left press, where the influence of gynocentric feminism is more keenly felt. Local radio service The Breeze reported on Wednesday that Sir Elton John is considering quitting live touring after 50 years on the stage. Sir Elton, whose hits span many decades, is reporting to be experiencing poorer health now that he is entering into his 70s, and therefore is going to retire from live shows, although he will continue recording and releasing records. Congratulations to Midland Zone magazine on reaching its 250th issue this month. The publication is a vital networking voice for the LGBT communities in Birmingham and the West Midlands conurbations. The February issue is available free from the gay venues across the Midlands region and includes gift ideas for St Valentine's Day, courtesy of the lifestyle store Clone Zone, features on the musical Mamma Mia, and a new theatre production based on the true story of a male-male penguin couple. And finally, a milestone in equalities was passed on Tuesday, which marked the 100th anniversary of the vote being granted to women, although it was at first restricted to women over the age of 30 and who owned property. Several media covered the anniversary. The Communist Daily Morning Star led with women in trade unions speaking about how far there is still to go in making for an equal world. Over on BBC Four, the lesbian icon Claire Balding looked at the death of the suffragist Emily Davison and her contribution to the movement. Pink News, for its part, said that it was now time for the women's movement to unequivocally recognise the essential contribution of queer, bisexual and gender-fluid women to feminism and the struggle for an equal vote. So, for Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Oh my God, Rihanna so made me gay.
She's the centre. She's the centre of the entire conspiracy.
Obviously,
we've been found out. It is actually Rihanna pulling the strings.
So Rihanna. I mean, she was born after me, but she definitely made
indeed,
me go.
And in many ways, we are all, of course, just under her umbrella. Ella, Ella, Ella.
Shout out
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The Cross Ambassadors and Renegades.
You'll make a good DJ one day. You get him quite a lot of practice. 4 tracks a week. He's cracking, isn't he?
I don't have to. You laugh. I wasn't laughing. DJ in clubs at one point.
Did you? Wow, Andy, a DJ.
He did, and one of the first gay internet streaming radio stations, forerunner even before Gaydar Radio got
there. Yes, Lancast FM. Yeah. I could tell you a lot of the history of that. It was me and my mate.
Mate, and you're going to tell us history?
It was in its infancy. I mean, most people were still on dial-up modems back then, but we had hundreds of listeners. It was fun. All over Europe as well. It was quite interesting. Anyway, a completely different thing to what we're about to talk about. So I'm very pleased to say it's actually a welcome back, isn't it? Hang on, let me get this right. Sister Anne... Where do you do the pause? You do it.
Hello, my name is Sister Anne Tissy.
There you go.
Of the rain, which really should we blend? It's iconic.
We should explain, because we had you on the show way back when the sisters
2015.
Was it 2015?
It was 2015,
really?
All those years ago.
It was, I believe, one of your colleague sisters came down from Scotland, wasn't it?
It was me.
It was just you.
It was me. Yes, and of course, yes, there were two. Yeah. Myself and brother Bimbo del Doppio Senso.
Yes,
from the Edinburgh Convent.
Well remembered.
Yeah. Oh, see, Edinburgh. Yeah. So now we know who you are and who the sisters are. But just in case there are any listeners listening who have never heard of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, give us a very quick synopsis of who the sisters
are. In two words, evangelical hedonists, but wider than that, an order of queer nuns worldwide who teach people to love themselves and love who they are and who they will be, that fights against the stigmatic guilt that society puts on you to conform or to change who you are, and to make you kind of just blend into everyone else. And also we serve the community by going out and giving out safe sex supplies and doing works of charity amongst the local community.
So you stand out quite well, it has to be said. Pretty much on purpose. It is kind of like the whole point,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
But of course, because radio, people can't see you. You are actually dressed up.
I am
in
full
the studio
manifest,
with us,
I thought,
too.
You know, with bells on.
Usually with quite white faces, it's safe to say. Safe to say.
Indeed, I do Thatcher me eek quite a lot, because we try and channel the sacred clown, often saying a true word in jest. And also, we say with our appearances, if there's space enough for a 6'2" man in a dress, there's space enough for you in the world. So if we make a spectacle...
Who, Andy?
everyone.
There's space for you, Andy.
I'm not 6'2". So I could be a sister if I wanted to be.
And you'd be very welcome.
Yeah.
Your local chapter is Bristol.
Yes, I know. Yes. Well, of course, this is the history we shout out, of course, because you came when you were first looking for people to set up an order here in
Indeed.
Bristol. If that was 2015, so
Indeed.
The order
so
is now
happened?
Here. Well, but what happened? How many of you are there now?
Well, there's about 12 of us on and off, so we've really grown over the years. People come, people going, and... Further to that, other missions in the UK that started, Cardiff, just down the road, has sisters, and Glasgow as well. And also down in Glastonbury, we're getting a few flickers of flames of people wanting to start a mission there.
Uh-huh.
So watch that space. Mm. But within our own history of what we've been doing, we've established ties with Terence Higgins and other charities to give us Save a Sex supplies and attend many different events, host events, running events. We're running events mostly in Dare 2 now, which is in the Old Market, and spreading the message of love and joy as we always have. And we're being recognised for being here, having our members and having a solid group, because on the March the 10th, we are having our exequitur. So we'll stop being a mission and start being a full house of perpetual indulgence.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's it's been a lot of work by a lot of wonderful people to get there.
Excellent. Oh. Now, you're spreading into rural areas, which is a first, is it not?
Oh, we do, darling. We spread everywhere.
We'd heard that.
Yes. Don't worry, you can get a paste that clears it right up. Yes, we are. We are going wherever we're needed. So we've gone to Weston-super-Mare Pride. We've gone to lots of rural prides. We look forward to going to Midsummer Norton Pride. And we are spreading out into Glastonbury. So we had our first Ministry of Martha, which happened... as the second, no, actually the last Wednesday of January, where we raised £200 for local causes, such as an LGBT youth group which is happening, which is being set up, Albion Fairies, and for the Order's continual practices and trying to raise awareness within places that don't have LGBT services. Because we see a place that doesn't have anything, and we go, there must be LGBT people here. I mean, statistics tell us it's 1 in 10. But we go, well, if there's nothing there, we have to make it. We have to make that. Because I remember being a child in Somerset and not having any place to go or things to do. And all you're doing if you're overthinking and being an isolated teenager is wondering, am I wrong? Am I alone?
Yes.
And the Order, I think, worldwide is there to say, no, you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you, and we're going to supply things so that you can actually enjoy and meet other people. And that's what we're hopefully starting up in Glastonbury, bringing light and sunshine to a place which is open-minded to such things.
Fantastic. I mean, obviously, Shout Out goes out in Glastonbury, so...
Glastonbury.
I was going to say, I mean, Glastonbury is a town that will be really receptive, I think, to the sisterhood.
Packed out.
Because it's got that sort of pagany, alternative, countercultural tradition, you know.
Kind of like when you go down to a place like Totnes, it's a bit like that as
well, absolutely,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
At the same time, within the first week, the same week as we had our LGBT cabaret, transphobic slurs were etched into somebody's front door. And horrendous. But luckily, that person came to our event feeling very unconfident and kind of not feeling very happy about the whole situation. And after they'd left, they felt renewed and hope was given to them. Mm. And that's really what we want to do, is simply reach out to people and say that, you know, life can be better and the planet can be better if we all work together.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So are you looking for sisters to join in the area?
Always.
Not just, I mean, here in Bristol. I know you're always
everywhere.
Here, but I mean down
everywhere.
In Glastonbury.
If you can hear this, if you have ears, or if you don't have ears, if you can communicate in some way to other humans and want sisters to come to you, you need only contact us. Have a Google, Order of Perpetual Indulgence Bristol, pack a lunch.
I'll pack your lunch for you, Andy.
And a sisterly act. Not every nun wears a habit. Mm.
Really?
Indeed.
Ah.
Well, you can be a nice person within your community.
Oh, that's just Andy out there.
I'm
going to turn the microphone off for a minute.
But yes, wherever we go, if we have people who contact us via the Bristol Facebook website or any of the other local missions, there's some in Manchester and Edinburgh as well, they can go and they can talk to you and say, you know, this is what you need to start up, and we'll help you start up with mentorship and general sponsoring.
Is there a central order in the middle of the country or in London or Manchester that organises every...
No. Are all autonomous collectives of non-hierarchical structure, and we each look after each other. And if you seed a mission, so Edinburgh looks after us right now until we become a full house, and then we'll start looking after ourselves.
Ah,
and
so until you're a full house, you're looked after by another
yes.
city. Is that right? Okay.
Yes. Because it might seem daunting to try and start a project, and we make sure that you've got a support network there. So it's always a pleasure and never a chore. Because why would you volunteer and spend 2 hours making yourself into something fantastical and wonderful when you could actually go to another charity and just put on a t-shirt? Because we have such an impact with what we do, and that we potentially change people's lives when we talk to them just by being... A complete cosmic clown that you can confide in, that you can trust, who will give you condoms and joy and love. Mm. It's that unique kind of je ne sais quoi that we get over to people to generally just communicate wonder and joy.
Yeah, excellent. I'm liking it.
So it punches a little heavier because when a 6 foot two clown with a beard comes up to you and says, "So, safe sex, tell me about it." people go, "Oh my god!"
but you are looking. So if people also would like to join and the like. They can also get to you through the website. And the
yes,
like,
they can. They need only reach out and say hello, and then have somebody saying hello back.
Marvellous. Cool. Well, listen, thank you ever so much for coming. It's lovely to catch up with you after all these years as well.
Absolutely.
And it's great to hear that you've grown in size.
But I should tell you, absolutely. But just to tell you our wonderful news about Glastonbury, which is Glastonbury Pride is having an organising meeting on March the 3rd in the King Arthur at 3 p.m. And
brilliant,
we're going
news
to try and bring even more rainbows and sunshine into rural isolated areas. And you know, one day St. Ives Pride, who knows.
Yes,
amazing.
Yes,
cool.
Well, like I said,
it's lovely to catch up, and it's great to see that it's expanding so fast. Indeed. As well, by the sounds of it.
Indeed. And you must come to our Lupercalia event, which is happening on the 16th of February in Dare 2. Tickets online.
Cool.
Indeed, yeah. Cool. Just thought I'd just plug in everything.
No, that's fine. That's what we're here for.
The time eats away. Indeed, thank you so much.
It's all right. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. That was Rudimental, and these days, current number one in the iTunes chart, that one. So.
Hit Parade.
Sorry. You're listening to us on the wireless.
That was really interesting. I love the sisters.
I do, too.
They do so much good.
They have, and if you look at their history going back into the AIDS crisis in the 1980s, you know, it was such a beautiful response to such a dire situation.
Yeah. And it does actually genuinely take people by surprise when they walk into a venue, whichever way around it is, whether the sisters are in there or the sisters walk in, and people just have and there's all these nuns all with very white faces carrying packs of condoms and lube and the like. It's all kind of you know, you see this kind of
I think you should
go for
it.
But that's the whole point,
I think you
it?
Should go for
no,
it.
No, my face isn't as white as yours. It's
white.
Yeah, you have to have white face. They paint their faces white, don't they? It's all about detracting from them, and I think it's kind of shock value too. But
oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but it works.
Yeah,
yeah, and in a good way.
Yeah,
yeah.
You definitely got a face for it, see?
You reckon?
Mm, yeah.
You started
this. Don't. I don't know. I've been so nice to you too this show. Yeah.
Did you hear about the was it the Blue Oyster?
Blue Lagoon.
Is it and Gloucester Road?
I think the Blue Oyster's from
it's probably somewhere in
the TV show,
Police.
Is it not? Police Academy.
Police Academy. Blue Oyster.
It was called the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah, it's Blue Lagoon.
Yeah. Where
what happens at the Blue Lagoon?
A trans woman went into the loo, went into the cubicle to have a pee, and one of the staff charged in and started banging and crashing on the door. And
actually, I did read about that actually on
You
the
Don't
Beach
Belong in Here.
Yeah.
Absolutely, really abusive to this poor woman. Who's
I thought we were kind of past these days.
You'd have thought, wouldn't you, in the 21st century. Anyway, the club or the venue itself, the management have said they're going to have an investigation about it, and said that no, that's not what we're about. We're about inclusivity. Well, obviously, it didn't get.
Is it an LGBT plus?
No.
But does it have to be?
Yeah.
Well, no. I just wondered. I mean, it would have been worse if it was.
Yeah. It's Gloucester Road. Gloucester Road. Bottom of Gloucester Road, next to Sainsbury's. Just up from Sainsbury's.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the left hand side.
Was that right? The next day, there was a representation from the transgender community arrived.
I don't know, to be honest.
En masse. I think
from what I recall reading, she wrote a big blog article about it. Gathered quite a following
it
as
did.
A result.
And some of the responses weren't very nice either, to be honest, to the article.
No, there was a lot of negativity. But I'm hoping she takes it further and actually complains officially.
You know, the transphobia within the LGBT community was there as well.
Oh, yes, you are kidding.
No,
shocking.
There is sometimes. Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah,
it happens. I think sometimes
you forget we live in this bubble here, because the LGBT group here is really
that's
tiny.
True.
Yeah.
But we did. Excuse me, but we didn't used to live in the bubble, did we?
No, we didn't.
We saw it in all its horrors.
Yeah. I know, but it's it's bubble here now. But there is some really vitriolic.
Yeah, and it's especially galling when it comes from within our own community itself, doesn't it? But we hopefully can help people move beyond that.
So, well, what is nice is the fact that, like, our guests today were in schools teaching people.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
You know, hopefully
fantastic.
The generations, as they go on, will get better. I know we need to educate everybody, but it's great that the youngsters are having that too.
And the support out there for people as well.
That
noise, by the way, was Steffi attacking the microphone with
I didn't have my glasses on, so I misjudged the distance.
That is it for another week, but as we always say, there's tons of info about us online.
shoutoutradio.lgbt is your place to head to for all the info, news and podcasts.
Next week we're going to be taking a look into LGBT life in Uganda, but from myself and the rest of the team, say bye bye everyone.
Bye bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.